That's funny. All right, so Cube.
Yeah, no, all right, all right. We're back. Yeah, I know. Well, you always know there's going to be some catch-up time. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, we're back. Good, bad, and the garbage. Talking Cube. The low-budget masterpiece, as some would say. I've seen some people say that. Came out in 1997. It's a Canadian film, for whatever, you know, whatever that means to you.
So many good things come from Canada. Canada's just doing it right.
Yeah.
But universal healthcare.
Careful. I mean, we just went pre-episode. We just went on some political tangents. Let's not start again. Obviously rated R. Directed by Vincenzo Natili, if I'm pronouncing that right. It stars literally six people. The premise is, it actually says six people in the synopsis, but I think there's seven people in this movie.
Seventh is the opening character.
Yes, you're correct. So barely in it, but seven people wake up in a mysterious cube and they have to find their way out of it. Literally the entire movie takes place in the cube, or cubes, the smaller ones within the larger one. It came out in 97, like I said, very, very low budget. I have it here. The budget on the movie was $350,000. So
big spenders.
Not quite. What was VelociPastor?
It was probably 50, wasn't it?
35,000.
That was the lowest budget.
So 10 times the budget of VelociPastor, whatever you want to read into that.
Well, they didn't have a sweet Velociraptor suit, but they did actually have some like mechanical engineering. I feel like they had to do for this.
Yeah, I think VelociPastor was
pretty good for 97.
VelociPastor is like, how can we use this money in somewhat joking ways? I would say, whereas Cube was more so, let's put this money to good use. Very practical.
Some really good practical effects.
The movie, this I have trivia for later, but I can at least talk about this now. So they only had one cube. Like, I don't know if you guys looked into that. I wasn't sure about that. They just had the one cube. They would change the coloring, right? They didn't shoot the movie in sequence. They started with the color red. Yeah, they started with the color red. Let's do all the red scenes first. Boom. Then they change the color into orange or whatever. Let's do all the orange scenes. So they did it by color. So they had the one cube and that's how they got away with it.
Pretty kind of really makes you appreciate acting. I mean, I know like a lot of movies do that, but this is obviously low budget and not like Hollywood studs, but to like go through an entire movie in 1 minute snippets.
So you have like to like get half an hour between
during
the movie, but you can't build up to that.
Acting in general, to be on for like 30 seconds and then break and then you got to get back in the mode. No, I totally get it. I think this is more movie inside movie for me. It makes me appreciate editing and directing to like keep the story in, like you're shooting it out of sequence. So to like keep the story in your head and like to know that you have all your shots for the color red. Cause if you mess up, probably costs a pretty penny to like go back and change it and like get the shot that you missed. So, and then being able to edit it all together to make it seamless is always impressive to me.
Especially the big thing with this movie too, is each color is meaningful.
Yeah. For the most part, like, cause I was reading like
all of the bad things that happen in the movie happen in the red room.
Do they? Cause I was reading that like maybe that's probably true, but like the colors the booby traps didn't depend on color. So like that's another thing in the movie is that like there's booby traps in rooms, right? Like some are safe, some aren't. So they got
to
figure.
Yeah, the room color doesn't have to do with traps or not. It's more on a level of like what's going on with the characters in the room. So red, there's a lot of conflict. There's usually some sort of conflict between the characters. White is something where they're discovering something with, like, say, the numbers, how she starts figuring out the patterns and that sort of things.
Yeah, no, it's true. Stuff. Like, there's a lot of, subtlety or symbolism behind a lot of that stuff. So where do we want to start with this? So do we want to go with the good about this movie, the bad? Do we want to talk about the characters? Where did you guys want to start with this movie?
let's start at the bottom and work our way up.
The bottom.
What does that even mean?
The acting is pretty shit.
That's okay. That's my biggest. This movie, we'll get to our ratings later. I think it's fairly good. The thing that really brings this movie down for me is the acting and just the characters in general. I love everything about like the cube, the concept of the cube, the clues, the foreshadowing, like all that stuff is great. The acting is, and I wrote down some example or typed some examples. Acting is not good, except for maybe like one or two people where it's like, okay. And I get it's low budget. You know, you kind of got to deal with what you got. But the girl that played Levin, I thought she was, that's some of the worst acting.
Hey, let's throw glasses on her. That makes her look smart.
Yeah, and like the glasses are cool. Like the glasses made, like, oh, they took all the jewelry off of people, but these glasses were left here. That must mean something. Like, that's cool. But yeah, like, let's throw glasses on her. And I like, too, how at the beginning, she's like, I'm nothing. I'm no one. I live with my parents. Oh, no, wait, you're like a fucking mathematical genius. Like, do you, you don't want to bring that up, that you're like a savant, like with numbers and everything? And also the one that I love too, when she breaks like the first code of like prime numbers mean trapped room, she just yells prime numbers like three times in a row. She's like, prime numbers, prime numbers, prime. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, and in a movie where there's nothing but people, like it's just the cube rooms, like the people on screen is literally it. Like, acting is kind of a big deal. So that really brought it down for me.
How they the point where they were figuring out the clues was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
All right. I will be back on in 5 minutes. I got to
go
to another room.
Are you going to move rooms?
I have to move rooms. Like, okay. In the cube. It'll be a blue room now.
Okay.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, now that we can actually start the podcast, welcome to the good, bad, and garbage.
Fuck Quinn. He doesn't need to be here.
Episode one, we finally got rid of him. It only took this long.
We're just going to, I'm going to delete those old ones. This is episode one. We're starting from scratch right here. Let's go. Oh, here's another part of the movie. Like, because I have it on, like, just while we're recording, I put it on. When she's scratching equations into metal with a button.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. Like, do you just give them a pen and paper? But I like, really? Like, you're using a button to, like, do math equations? I don't know. It's like, again, like, you know, a slight complaint. That if that was the only thing wrong with it, I wouldn't care. But it's, like, just a little thing to pile on.
It was I feel like there was a handful of, like, I don't know if they're just scenes or just, I don't know, actions, the way they wanted to explain things that seemed like that's a little bit. One of the things that I thought about that could explain something, and I know that they, like, each person had a trait that was supposed to, like, apply to the situation, even
like help him escape, like right. Something they do,
even the Kazan guy or Kazan whatever his name was, but like the I was thinking, like, when they're sitting there changing rooms, and I know it comes back to, like, they think that they went full circle, you know, for a second at the end of the movie. Did you leave that for me?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Maria made me popcorn.
Oh, shit.
But I just was trying to explain something, so I stuck stuff in my mouth.
All right, let me just write this time code down as to where to make an edit. Bo stuffs face with popcorn.
Oh. No, so they come full, like, the full circle thing happens. They kind of explain that you would think when you're traveling, so you know that you're traveling, like, say if you're just going like three dimensional, like standing one direction, you're like, I'm going left on this one, I'm going up on this one, right on this one, down on this one, you know, like you would think you'd try to map it out in your head. So you would know if you're doing a circle, like that girl's so smart at math. You think the spatial awareness of someone would be like, holy shit, we just went three to the left, three to the up, three to the right, three to the down. Like, well, we should be in the same room, even though they were in the same room. And then the,
yeah, there's a reveal there.
What happens?
Yeah.
But like, you would think if you're trying to escape and you're going through all these rooms, you'd be sitting there thinking like, all right, we've gone whatever, six rooms to the left, three up, like just mapping it out in your head so you have an idea. Not that you have to keep it exact, but like if you have a nerdy dude, nerdy chick who just likes looking at numbers and shit, that should be like, oh, I just, that's what have been like the first trait that I would have thought. It's like, let's just think about where we are and maybe which direction we're moving and see if we land on any clues or something.
Well, that's like the one, so Ren, who dies early on, but he's like a escapee, like he knows how to escape prisons. That's like his trait or solution. Like,
right.
He says like, I'm just going in a straight line if I can, right? Like just go in a straight line to try to get to the edge. So I think that was the plan. And then, you know, they figure out like through math, which like all that stuff I actually like. I don't know if it's true. We'll ask the former engineer if the math checks out in this movie.
Actually, as she was going through that, I was texting you guys when he was doing that. I was like, oh, I know this stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Like they were able to pinpoint where they were. So like the whole circle thing, I mean, we can get to that reveal later. I was really worried that something was going to happen there, and I'm glad they had a different reveal. But so yeah,
they started stretching the math a little bit when she starts going crazy, scribbling on the metal.
I assumed it got stretched a little bit. That makes sense.
Yeah. The beginning of the math, I was like, not that I'm a math whiz, but like I understand the concept of factors and prime numbers. So I'm like, makes sense. And then she's like doing the math in her head, and she's like, 27,000 rooms. I'm like, okay, like absolute brainiac. I've heard about like some people that have that ability to just envision math and like
it
that.
Sounds like.
And then at the end, she's doing all the math, going through stuff. And of course, like they rely on Kazan, his name is. He's got the mental.
Oh, but yeah, they rely on him to do the power, the prime.
But like,
power
there's a point where it just gets mudded down. You know, we're like, all right, you're just skipping through, you know, you're like, it's like, there's always those plots of movies. And I feel like it's a common plot for a lot of like rom-coms where you're slowly building up. And I feel like for rom-coms, this is a stretch of an example. The beginning of like a lot of those types of movies are the best from like the first beginning to like an hour and 15 minutes in. And then there's like an absolute like tragedy that happens and the story arc falls and you're disappointed. And then in the next 20 minutes, it solves itself again. And like, there's no humor in it. There's no like, you know, it's not nearly
like Tiptoes.
Like Tiptoes. No, rom-coms, you're right. Like all rom-coms, the last 20 minutes is a drama. Like, cause they have to be like serious with like,
and it's never as good as the first hour and 15 or whatever, you know, take whatever time stamp you want.
No, correct. 100% correct. Whole movie. 75% through the movie. That's always it. Whatever 75% is.
And even though, like, I thought the ending, like you said, like, if it ended the way you thought it was going to with the whole end up in the same room, it would have been terrible. I thought they at least, like, found a decent ending to it. And it was better, but it did seem rushed, you know? It's like they compact, like, 70% of the storyline in the final 30 minutes.
Yeah, and this movie's only 90 minutes long, so the last third of the movie. But next character is Holloway, who's the other female other than Levin.
The doctor.
Was she a shrink? Is that right? Was she like a psychiatrist?
I think it had to have been because when the Kazan guy showed up,
she was the comforting was like, one to him.
Like, you go handle it.
It was just because I think you're right. Like, I think it's implied that, but it's never stated. And it was always weird. Like one of her first lines is like, "I can't chit chat." I'm like, isn't that literally the job of a shrink or psychiatrist?
But, yeah, she can't. But what was it? Shoot the breeze.
Yeah, yeah. So,
which was, by the way, a hilarious line by her because she said that like it was casual talk. Meanwhile, like he was talking, he said something totally could not be mistaken as like his wife died. Like there's not shooting the breeze. And I know then he's like, oh no, she didn't die. We just got a divorce. Like hey, that's another lighthearted subject. Like,
yeah.
That's not shooting the breeze. It's like talking about death or divorce.
Yeah. No, yeah, I get it. But Holloway overall, I didn't mind her. I thought there were some bad acting moments, not to bring it all back, like the acting, but when it's only them on screen, that's kind of what I default to. She had some bad moments, but like overall, not terrible. Like it was okay. Like I kind of liked her character. She's the only one who like cares about Kazan, who's like, you know, like we could talk about him a little bit, but what were you going to say, Bo?
I was gonna say, I don't think she's the only one that cares. In the beginning, she does.
But in the beginning, there's another character by the end that does too, but she's initially the only one who like will take care of Kazan. So like quickly talking about Quentin, he's kind of like the de facto leader of this group. He's apparently a cop, which I have some questions about that, but he's the one you were talking about where he's got three girls, but separated. But he's the one who takes the creeper turn, right? Like, you kind of know that's, you know, one of my problems in this movie. I felt like all the characters were relatively predictable. Like, watching this movie, I went, Quentin's going to turn bad. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who thought that. But I was watching this going, like, Quentin's going to turn into a bad guy. Like,
it seemed aggressive. Way too aggressive.
That's the thing. Super aggressive.
He seemed like Sinbad.
Going on that, did you know that every character's name is based on a prison?
I found today. When really? I looked, yeah, just today.
That's that trivia.
I'm glad you guys do research.
Yeah, I looked at that today. Kazan is named after the Kazan prison in Russia. Levin and Worth are named after the Leavenworth prison in the U.S.
I've heard of that, at least.
Quentin is named after San Quentin,
San Francisco. That's
San Quentin State Prison.
That makes sense. Heard of that.
Dr. Helen Holloway is named after the Holloway Women's Prison in the UK. Wrens is named after like the Wrens Prison in France. And then Alderson must have been that guy that died at the very beginning. Cause like I don't, why does he even
isolation
have a character name? But yeah, Alderson Federal Prison in the U.S. So yeah, they're all named after a prison.
I have it right here.
So there's a little trivia for you, but yeah, Quentin is the guy. He turns evil. He kills a couple people in the end. Like he ends up being the bad guy. He's the one slowly creeping into insanity. But I brought up the cop thing. Do we actually think he's a cop? And the only reason I bring it up is because he doesn't really seem like a cop and have a lot of traits as a cop. And then Holloway at one point like turns to him and starts like kind of making fun of him and goes like, yeah, you're a cop, Quentin. And I'm like, is that her way of calling him out that like maybe he isn't one? Like, is he just like a bad dude and he's like pretending to be a cop just to get out of there? Like he has more traits of a fucking like serial killer than he does a cop in this movie.
I would say as a cop, usually they are pretty level headed. Maybe that's a stretch, but there's definitely
in this day and age, maybe a little bit of a stretch. Not to get political, not
to kind of make it political again.
But like just the way they assess situations because of training and in high stress situations, they handle things differently. And he deteriorates quickly compared to the rest of the group who is probably not mentally capable of handling high stress situations.
Yeah, and he gets he gets a little rapey too, like and just
yeah, that's like, a weird
that one. Was random,
that kind of came so out of nowhere, and the only hint of it was Holloway being like, oh yeah, Quentin, like the aggressive father hitting on younger girls, no wonder your wife left you, you know. So like there's like a little hint that like he likes
that, and she said something about like she mentioned something or she dropped the line like, oh, did you beat your kids too after she slapped or he slapped Holloway? Yeah. And he just, they didn't like, he didn't really respond to it. They had just like some weird
His reaction, like
kind of looking away.
His reaction made it seem like that she hit the nail right on the head, though. So the whole cop thing, like, there's no way to know, but I kind of watched this going, I don't know. He was pretty useless other than being a, like, a dipshit aggressor, like, you know, kind of sexually abusive guy. So I don't know. Then there's Ren. I talked about him. He's barely in it. He's like the prisoner guy who, like, kind of shows him the boot trick. You throw a boot in a room to see if it's booby trapped. Turns out doesn't Legend. Always work though. he dies pretty early. Case. Yeah,
great special effects, by the way.
So one right. thing I'm gonna say about him, and I know I saw this movie before, but I was really hungover when I watched it the first time, so it was like. But, you know, I actually didn't remember the ending. Even when I was getting closer, okay. I was like, I don't remember how this ends. But when he first popped up on screen, I remembered him. But I thought he was, like, going to be the heel of the movie. Like, you know, the guy that's constantly, like, fuck this person. Like, we need to ditch them, get rid of them. Like, I forgot that he died.
That was Quentin.
Yeah, no, it turns out to be Quentin. But I, like, when Ren showed up, I was like, I remember this dude. This dude is the punk that's, like, you have to try and manage his, like, psychopathic tendencies. And, no, I was pretty wrong. So.
And then he died, which, like, yeah, his death was, I think, pretty predictable. Like, his longest speech in the movie, he's, like, sitting in the doorway to another cube. And I'm like, he's about to die. This motherfucker's about to die. And bam, acid to the face. So not much there about him. And then we can talk about Kazan now. I said last, we'll talk about Worthless. Kazan is my cringiest character in this movie. He's maybe the one I dislike the most.
Kazan?
Yeah, because I think it's a very, very insulting character. It's someone doing a Rain Man impression and a very stereotypical Rain Man. Like this, I'm sure they just said, go watch the movie Rain Man and just do that. Include, like, he does it all down to, like, he hits himself in the head, like, when Rain, like, he doesn't want to get on the plane and he's freaking out and he's hitting himself. He, like, the first time you see him, he, like, goes up to the wall and he starts, like, bumping his head on the wall. It's just, I think it's just a very insulting, stereotypical look at it, like, an autistic person. And it's just like an impression of Dustin Hoffman doing Rain Man, down to the fact of being good at math. Like,
and that's a thing that was like, I know that the fact that he, like, supplied something that benefited the group at the ending, and it's, well, I'm sure the whole idea behind them was like, don't judge a book by its cover. This, like, person who, like, can't even speak suddenly is worthwhile.
He's like, yeah, like the most important person. Yeah, like, yeah,
you can, like, determine factors in his mind from large numbers, like at the snap of his fingers, like, whatever. But it was over the top. Like, I don't watch this show, but I know Maria watches it, like The Good Doctor, whatever, where the guy's super autistic or something.
And I've heard of,
but
at least show.
Like, he, like, and I don't know about the show, so this could even, that show could be terrible too for all I know, but, like, they don't make him completely inept other than the fact that he can decipher numbers really, really well.
Prime factorizations.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, this character is he's completely helpless, peeing on himself and things. Like, I just, and it's, you know, this is May 97. I don't think it's the right thing to do to look at it as, like, a scope of the time it was made. I don't think that's always, like, the right thing to do, because then you're kind of being okay with blackface that was done and, you know, the back in the day and stuff. But I just, when that character first showed up, I was hoping that it was someone faking. Like, it was some genius level criminal faking this autistic shtick. And then he would be revealed to be, like, kind of the bad guy in the end. But then we just got part way, like, getting through and Quentin going crazy. And then the moment that Levin goes, she can't do prime, the power of the prime numbers or whatever, like, that large, I just went, it's going to be the Rain Man thing and Kazan's going to be able to do it. And that's exactly what happened. So I just hated that.
There's a theory behind Kazan as... he had already escaped the cube,
Oh, really? I did not see this. Okay.
Okay, so there's a theory that he had escaped the cube, but the powers that be that control the cube don't let anybody escape, so they lobotomized him and threw him back in.
So, okay, the lobotomy thing is a theory I've heard, because this is the Spawn sequels. There's three movies in total.
I just saw that earlier
before we started this. The third movie, I watched part of the second one, which we can talk about if you want. That movie.
They all look great.
It's not. I didn't finish it, and it's just as long as this, or just as short, I should say. The third movie is the one where they reveal that no one can really escape, and they just lobotomize them and put them back in. So that's like a reveal, apparently, in the third movie.
They really
do that. Shutter Island.
Yeah, but like if you just look at this movie alone, you can maybe hope that like he actually gets out in the end. But anyway, so I don't know if that's just me being like looking into things too much. I hated the Kazan character because I thought it was just the worst kind of trope and stereotype character, being like this autistic guy who's completely helpless, but like is revealed to be able to be good at math, which I feel like is a trope that was in movies since Rain Man, is like autistic kids are really good at math, which like I'm sure that's probably true in some cases, but like it's just all the time it's the thing in movies, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's a stretch. This is, I mean, they obviously, you know, had to do what they had to do with the budget they had. It's more of don't look at it from an acting standpoint, more look at it from a theoretical standpoint of what it means and what the thought behind the whole movie is, rather than the individual performances.
I think they could have, like, budget, yeah, like they're completely tied into a certain budget, whatever. I think you can make these characters more interesting though. My problem with the movie is the characters and their characterizations and the writing, and like that's all something like they can just change. Like if they would have done something where, because at one point they talk about how, you know, why were we chosen to be put in this cube, and if it's something where like they're all connected to the same crime or something, and like someone's putting these people in that are like responsible for something, and throughout the movie they realize that they're connected through like that way or whatever, like that, maybe that could be more interesting. All these characters are just stereotypical or predictable and just not great, except for like the character I like the most is the one we haven't talked about yet, and that's Worth.
He's the best. He has the best like monologue of the whole thing when he talks about how no one's controlling this.
Yeah, like I think he's got one. I think that person does the best acting out of all of them.
Yeah, that's not a stretch.
Yeah, very true. You're very true. Very right. But like, I think his character has actual interesting characterization behind him. Like it's revealed he designed part of the cube, and like that's how he knows some things about it. And like I don't know, like I just think he's actually interesting and a fairly good person. Actually, at the beginning he's kind of like, oh, is he this jerk person, but he's actually like a good guy. I liked Worth the most. And he does eventually become a good person. Like, I think Bo, you know, when he joins the end, like, he mentioned that there is someone who ends up caring about Kazan. Because at the beginning of the movie, they're all jerks to the, like, you know, take away that I don't like the stereotypical, like, mentally handicapped person that they did in this movie. But they have a mentally handicapped character in this movie. And they all treat him like shit, except for Holloway and then later on Worth. So... I actually think like,
and they go back to save them when they were right there to escape.
Yeah. Which is like a nice characterization that comes around, but like, he, like you brought up earlier, there's another character other than Holloway that cares about Kazan, and it's Worth at the end of the movie after Quentin kills or lets Holloway die, which was kind of a weird move, but like, I don't know why he did that necessarily. Like, why Quentin, like, let her die. Like, he dove to save her and then, like, let her go. And I'm like, you could have just not dove that to was, save her. And
yeah, that was a weird death.
That was one of those things where, like, we were talking about earlier with him, whether he's, like, a cop or just a total psychopath.
Yeah.
Or both. Make it political again.
Not to get political.
But the fact that he like he did that, now I forgot what I was gonna say. Like after I said that, god damn it.
All right, well, if you remember,
well, just you're talking about him dropping. Oh no, it was the whole theory, like he started killing people off, and it's like, even though he was of zero value of help at all,
he didn't do anything. Yeah,
no, other than the beginning, he was like supposed to be the calming figure.
Yeah, like the hurrah guy.
Figure out what are you good at. Like, if someone were to trap you in a room and tell you to get out of it, what trait do you have that would help benefit? Like, he's the one that discovers that Worth isn't, or he's hiding the fact that he potentially designed this, the exterior of the cube.
Mm-hmm. And he's the one who caught the like glasses thing too. So there's a couple like intuitive cop things there.
In what world would you be like, this person actually has value to this entire situation? I know I don't. I'm just here to be like the manager. You're basically the manager of like a division in a business. And you're just like, I'm just gonna kill my sales team. Like, I'm just going to kill, like, the accounts receivable team. Like, and I'll figure it out on my own. Like, that's what he was doing. He was just voluntarily murdering the people that were actually useful to his escape, which made no sense at all. I don't know if you covered that since I was gone. It just started with him dropping Holloway. And it's like, okay, you killed the one girl that's good at taming the dude that you wanted to kill off in the first place in Kazan.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, like, they all, like, I hated that. They all treated Kazan like shit. Like,
other than,
is there not any sympathy here? The thing that, this isn't the thing that bugged me the most, but I wrote it down to bring it up, is when because she treats Kazan like shit. When she's, like, figuring out how many cubes there are.
The room.
Yeah, when she's walking off, off the room, like, oh, how big is this room? She, like, walks. She's, like, walking it off. She gets to Kazan. She's like, move. And I'm like, this, you could walk anywhere in this cube.
It's a 14-by-14-foot room, she said.
Like, you could walk off.
And he's sitting on the ground. He's sitting on the ground. It's not like he's walked in her way.
Well, it's like, she's trying to step it off with her feet. But it's like, one, he was sitting there first. Two, this is a cube. All the sides are the same. You can walk literally anywhere else. He doesn't need to be in your way. Right. And like, I wrote that down as like something that really, really, I'm like, really? God, she was just being a total bitch. It is just, but yeah, so I
wrote that down too, man. Like, that caught my eye. I was like, are you joking? She said there are 14 feet squares, there are cubes. So she had 14 lanes, essentially 1 foot lanes to walk in, and she purposely picked the one lane where the one dude isn't aware of what's going on, I guess, by the stereotyping of the movie, to walk in his lane of path. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought that was, I'm like, whatever. Anyways, so those are the characters. I mean, getting through the like the twists of the movie, which again, like the things with the cube, I really liked. So after they get to the edge, you know, then Holloway dies because they're not at the bottom. They go through like all these different processes of, or Levin realizes that math guy, you should probably remember this. Like, she figures out that the numbers are like how you figure out how moving
Cartesian coordinates.
Oh, all right. Is that like when something's moving, you can pinpoint it?
Yeah. So basically, X, Y, Z coordinates. So each of those numbers, there's three sets of numbers. When you add them up, that's their position inside the inner cube.
Okay. So yeah, they realize that, which I think is like. As long as the math like kind of checks out in theory, like I think those are cool, like reveals and things like that. My only question is, were they just getting lucky with the prime number thing? Because it turns out prime numbers don't distinguish a trap or not. With
the prime number thing.
Because, like, that was working for the longest time. And, like,
that's
it turns out that wasn't true.
That's what always surprised me. But they did go through a lot of boots. Because they only had one pair at the end. And remember, it got thrown out.
Yeah.
Over the void.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Especially when he decides to beat the shit out of the...
I thought he killed him. I was like, are we going to see death by boot? Turns out not. But
hit you in the face, you just go, oh, wait.
They were malnourished, okay, and very true. Tight.
Very true.
Great line, though. I think it was Levin or said something, or maybe it was Holloway. I don't know what part it was or who said it. And he walks up to her face, and she's like, and he goes, you don't want the boot.
Yes, he does.
He's a beat the shit out of words with the boot.
Oh my god,
that's like comedic timing that was unintentional.
Yeah, well, another funny part, because you're right, like there is like a couple funny parts that I wasn't expecting, and I assume they're intended to be funny, but when they realize that Kazan can do the power, I'm saying that wrong, what is it, the power to the prime numbers
factors,
fact, yeah, like when Kazan can do those and they're like, oh, this room is safe, they're like, only one way to find out, and Quentin picks up Worth and just throws him into the room like Uncle Phil style with Jazzy Jeff, like just only one way to find out, whoosh, and then Worth lands in the room and he just goes safe. I'm just like, that was funny. Like, it was meant to be like funny, but it was. But yeah, like the reveal that you were talking about earlier, or the first like kind of twist, is they go to a room and Ren's body is there, and they say
that was a big one.
Yeah, and they're like, did we just go in circles? And this is something I really liked is like Worth figures out, like, wait, he died in that room and that's not a room anymore. And this is like the reveal of the cubes are moving. And that's what the noise that they've been hearing is, that they've been physically moving. Which again is something that I liked, and they're able to like pinpoint their location. The thing that I didn't like is they get to, like, they have to find the bridge, right? Like the room that when it moves into its original location is the bridge to like, to leave. They get to the room that is the bridge, and Levin steps on a piece of glass, and it's like from her glasses, and she goes, oh, this is the room we started in. I was right. We should have never left. I hate that. Like, I hate that. I hate that it was like the room they started in. That Why? Just makes this whole thing feel pointless.
I think that's the point.
I don't know. Like, I think it's more interesting for it to be like something to go find, but it, like, if you just kind of sit back and just be like, oh, if they just wouldn't have moved, they would have been fine. Like, I don't know. It makes
the only thing
I just don't like it. It's fair, like, though. Some people do.
I mean, there is a line sequence between Quentin and Worth when he kind of goes on his whole meta thing about it's a headless entity, about, you know, where Quentin's questioning why. If no one runs it, why would you put people in it? And then what did Worth say? Something about, well, it's here. You have to use it. We built it. You do one part somewhere in the world, and then you find out later that it's used in a death machine or something.
Which is like,
you didn't know that to begin with.
That's like a legit thing too. That's like, yeah, like people do that. And that's like a smart way to build like shit that you don't want people to find out, you know, like contract all the little pieces out. But yeah, I don't. Some people like twists like that. I didn't necessarily like it, but
yeah.
I personally, what gets me about this movie is the whole big picture of it, the meta type stuff of like, what is the cube? What is its point? Why throw people in there? What happens at the end? The theoretical stuff, like the in your face, what the characters do and mean and stuff, is just kind of pointless. But it's more about like what the cube represents, what is it used for, what is it, why is it there, why throw people in it, why throw these people in it.
You saying you like that in this movie? Or Bo, go on. Bo, go.
I'm going to come back to Quinn's point in a second because I do think that's actually interesting to talk about. But the only thing that I wanted to mention about your point, Matt, is that I kind of agree with you in the fact that like they ended up in the same room. And like they said earlier, and I mentioned, well, I mentioned earlier, but they said in the movie, like, what was it, 27,000 something rooms?
Yeah.
Calculated. And like,
oh, I have that. I have the math here.
26 by 26, whatever that
is. It's crazy. There's a whole section on how the math works.
Yeah, it was 26 rooms by 26 rooms by 26 rooms.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So, 17,576 cubicle rooms.
Okay.
Yep.
Minus an unknown amount for allow for movement.
Regardless, the fact that I think we've mentioned this in other movies. I think some of the earlier ones when we talked about, like, especially Jackie Chan movies, like the trope that you hate is when someone is doomed, where like someone is on the ground, they just got their face pummeled, and the other villain is standing over them and like, oh, I'm gonna, like, giving them their, like, coup de grace to their light, and then randomly,
you mean, like, what is made fun of in, like, Austin Powers, and they just talk, and then they escape.
Just gets saved because of, like, the one dude is just not, like, killing the person, and that's what it, like...
Give me the exposition, come on.
Like, you have a 1 in 17,500 chance, essentially, to, like, I guess... If you're in the same area, you could probably cut it down. But still, the fact to land in the same room is by pure luck.
Oh, sure. Like that orange one, like when they're going, yeah.
Right. End up in the same exact room and to be able to, that's how they figured out that something was different, that they were off on understanding how the rooms work. It's pure luck.
Yeah.
Of course, no, it would be a movie without that, but you do have to consider the fact, like, what are the chances that you end up in that same room?
And I did have some similar written down where I was kind of like, do I talk about this? Because at the end of the day, it's a movie. Like, what do we, whatever. But when Quentin's going crazy,
$1,000 movie.
Yeah, I know. But like when Quentin's going crazy and they ditch him, like they actually, like, they put his head up in the door and they actually do get away. Like, and like the cubes move around. You know,
how does he get back up?
That's my thing. That's the thing I had to bring up. That
was
my thing,
too, is like, oh, they're going back to save Kazan, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, he just shows up out of nowhere. He's not that smart.
I would say there's no way Quinn could figure out how to get back to him. But again, like, it's kind of like, Bo, what you're saying. Like, there's no way they would end up in that room, but like, it's a movie, so what are you going to do? But at the same time, we're picking this movie apart. Like, so I shouldn't say picking apart, because there's a lot I like about this movie. I feel like I'm talking more negative than positive with this movie. Like, I do think it's like a fairly good movie.
I was going to say, I feel like this is the first movie you've done, though, where there's like, it was pure story plot. I feel like everything we've done has had an ounce of humor to it, you know? There's not really humor in this movie.
Oh, not much.
We're picking apart this movie because it's like the one that was trying to be like a true, like, pure, like,
yeah,
like, movie. It wasn't banking on the fact that
the plot's the only thing there. You know, it's not an action movie with like flashing lights to distract you. Like, it's literally six people in a cube.
Yeah, best comparison could be like maybe Troll Hunter.
You know, sure. But even,
I guess, because
but there's some nice flashy paint on Troll Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not great paint. You bought it at Home Depot, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Still, you just might have to paint it 5 years earlier than you would if you got it premium paint.
So Quentin somehow catches up to him after they ditch him. They figure out how to get to the bridge. They get to the bridge. Quentin shows up, kills Worth. Or Levin. Which one does he stab? He stabs one of them, like, with the one of the, which one?
Levin, he like sticks a sword through and like picks her up.
Wow. It's crazy you would stab her, considering he wanted to stab her with something else earlier in the movie, but you know.
Maybe metaphorical.
Yeah, I guess so. But so he kills her. Worth kills Quentin in a crazy way. Like, that was kind of cool. Like, you put him through the doorway, and when the cube moves, you just let the cube chop him in half. Like,
and then the blood slide.
Yeah, that was cool. Actually, that was cool. Like,
You could tell the writer for this movie, the director, had a fever dream of that happening to them, and they're like, I need to make a whole movie about sliding boxes and someone getting cut in half.
I do have like
that one scene. It's slip.
Yeah, I do have like where the idea of this movie came from. I did like figure out that, or I know where that is, but yeah, so Quentin dies, and then Worth kind of like chooses to stay and die in the cube and like gets Kazan to like leave and escape. And I do like, and I'm kind of ignoring the sequels right now, but I do like that one, someone escapes, and two, that it's Kazan. As much as I like hate the stereotypes of that character, I'm glad that it's like the innocent one, the helpless innocent one who like gets to escape. And I'm glad someone got to, you know, I like it sometimes when it's like, no, there's no hope, everyone dies in a movie. But this is one where I'm like, someone's got to escape. Come on. Like, I just don't want it to end and like everyone dies. Please.
I feel like it would. I think the thing that makes it like you want someone to escape is the fact that you don't have a solution otherwise, you know? Like, if it was a different movie where you knew who the anti-hero was, then it would be okay if someone died because you knew who to pinpoint it was. And like, of course the cube is like the issue, but you still don't understand the storyline, you know? Yeah. But I think that's what Quinn was that what you're talking about before, Quinn, with the plot?
With the headless, like the Worth monologue.
Well, that's like one of the big like turning points of the whole thing is when Worth kind of like finally comes out of his shell.
Right.
Sitting there quiet.
But like, that's an unanswered thing. Like who made this cube?
Who made the cube? Because he kind of has an insight to it. And he's like, I was just a guy in an office. I was given some things. I did my job that I don't know anything more.
Yeah, and it would suck if the whole movie was like, you watched it and you still didn't. If the whole cast is going to die, you want to know why they're going to die. You know, yeah. At least have like you could attribute it to something. But if they all die and you're just like, to go back to the original statement of the twist that you were worried about, Matt, where they end up in the same room. If that was the end of the movie, like end up in the same room and then it fades into the
I would have hated that.
Spiral away, like, woo, there's music. And I was in the movie, be like, what the f-? That was the dumbest thing I've ever watched in my life. I don't even understand why.
Yeah. No, I would have hated that. Like super ambiguous ending like that. Like, no. But yeah, so Kazan's the one that gets away based on sequels. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't escape, but just based on this movie alone, you can kind of maybe like he does escape. So yeah, and that's basically the end of the movie. It's like a wall of like white light is that he escapes into.
I'll play my own character arc for him and just say he escaped. Then he like had a bunch of toxic gases in him that were making him act that way. And he's actually just okay. And he's in the free world. He's happily married with a few kids.
Oh, wow. What a twist.
Actually, that should have been the sequel is he like comes out in the world and then he meets Quentin's ex-wife and gets married to her and then takes care of his kids.
And like, isn't a good dad towards the kids? That might have been...
That should be a part of our podcast is that we pick how we should think the sequel should go after the story plot.
Well, I'll tell you that might have been a better sequel than what actually happened because the second movie, which I watched the first half of, is called Hypercube.
I saw that it happened in 2002.
Yeah, and it's bad. So they decide to go like it's a Tesseract. So it's like four-dimensional, so time is different in each room. It isn't booby-trapped, it's just time is different. It's very boring.
That's a stretch.
Very bad. The first one is like ridiculous, like Quinn, you mentioned like maybe they get a little wonky with the math. At least it's like fairly grounded and like it's just based on existing math.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, the math is pretty good. I mean, they have to dramatize it.
Sure. But the second one takes the leap in, like, time altering.
Yeah, once you do time, because that's not really a thing that people
have. Like, you lose me there. So
that's what I kind of meant, though. because like when I took, because I had to take a couple semesters of physics just to major in biology in college, that like when they started talking about time or anything like that, it was getting to the part of like theoretical section where somebody I can imagine who thought they were smarter than the rest of the class would take it literally and try and like make something out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's, and whoever did the set. So the director of the first movie chose to not do the second one and third one, 'cause he's like, I don't like sequels. So like he just, I respect this guy. So he wasn't involved in two and three. So like, and he co-wrote number one. So like, number one is kind of like his baby, I think, to an extent. And what is good in retrospect to the other two. So I'm glad he was like, no, I don't need to do sequels. So that was kind of nice, at least. He did direct a Tremors TV movie. I was looking at his credit. So the guy that did the first movie, he's done a bunch of TV stuff. Like Westworld, he did a couple episodes and a couple other things. He did, to bring it back to a previous episode, he did a Tremors TV movie in 2018.
Damn.
So.
Director.
Kind of random, but yeah, so the second movie's bad. And the third one takes place outside of the cube. It's like people monitoring people in the cube. I didn't watch that one at all, but I hear it's also bad, so.
I credit for you even trying to watch the second one. I saw it was called Hypercube, and I was like,
just the title alone just makes you go like, no, that thing is dog shit. I'm not watching that thing.
No chance.
It's a straight to DVD or.
Yeah, it probably was. But yeah, it was on the same streaming. It was on Tubi. Then I'm like, all right, I'll put it on during work. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't know. So overall, I think Cube was, I'll call it good. Like overall, I would call it a good movie. Just like the acting and characters bring it down from being like solidly a good movie for me. Like, if I'm giving it out of 10, like I know you guys don't need to do that, but out of 10, I gave it a 6.4. So it's like in that good range. And for like our labeling, I'll say it's good.
I'd say it's good. I like the theory behind it. I like the ideas of it. The actual realization of it isn't great, but there are some good twists, and I think they did a great job with the money budget they had. It's pretty impressive. I'm always amazed what you can do with, it's why when you see movies like, and I hate to hurt you with this, Matt, but Marvel movies, and you have such inflated budgets and you still produce dog shit. And then you have movies like this, that's like, I mean, you could scrape this together on GoFundMe and make a movie that's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. It's thought-provoking, and it makes you think about stuff differently for really not much.
No, yeah. I appreciate the low budget and creativity behind this movie a lot, for sure. So,
I think when you have a movie that's low budget, it really makes you think how you can make that money stretch. You don't just rely on throw more money at it and you produce crap.
No, it's cool. Like, yeah, they had one cube. So you just film all one color and move on.
Pretty incredible how they did it. Like filming it, and they shot it in, what'd they say? 20 days? 21 days?
I want to say 20. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Sounds like a magical experience for an actor. Getting paid.
Oh, dude, that sounds brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. The only thing I could think of, and I guess it's made 90, they still had to have this ability in 97, is why couldn't you just, I mean, you can do with any, like, these days, or you just have a switch where you're like, we don't have to film all the red rooms right now. We'll just press a button. It's red now. Film the scene. All right, we're going to a green room. Press a button, it changes.
Dude, it was 1997.
But still, in 97, we have that stuff at like
the 40s.
Server phone. Yeah, like it's that's like basic technology. Have you been to a rave in the 90s, Quinn?
No, I was way too young.
Well, YouTube it. It's possible.
Sure. Yeah, I know they use some kind of gel coloring for the, like, I get what you're saying. I don't know if it was like the type of lighting they needed, and they just had to be as efficient with it as possible. I don't know, but yeah, it's the 90s, it's not the 40s, so you think maybe there's something they could have done there. But are you saying you picked this movie? You saying good, I assume? Bad? Which one?
What? I assume almost wanted me to say bad, but I did kind of like it. That's why I wanted to volunteer, which I don't want to volunteer the next movie I pick, which I don't know. I thought it was, it just, I sent you guys the trailer originally because the trailer is so outrageous. And I remember just thinking the concept was so stupid. I mean, you just, if you had explained to somebody, it's a bunch of people stuck in a series of boxes trying to escape. Like, that's horribly
boring. That's pretty preposterous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did actually think it was, I remember being, like I said, I watched it hungover, so I don't remember all of it, but I remember being like, that was pretty good. Like, yeah, it was like embedded in my mind. Yeah. But so
it was. I mean,
I don't think it was outstanding. I don't think it's like the best movie. I wouldn't probably even rank it in like the top five movies we've watched that I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, let's see. I mean, I got, if you're able to like think of it on your mind. So me giving it a 6.4 puts it between, let's see, I got the rankings up, puts it between Small Soldiers and Rumble in the Bronx for me. And it's number 9 out of the ones that we've done.
I mean, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not top 5.
Here, Bo, here's yours.
Bo, Gods of Egypt?
Dude, I didn't hate God.
Yeah. Oh, it's I'm not seeing 4, 5, and 6.
What?
Here's the only
4, 5, 6. You're not seeing these?
Wait a second. Maybe let me try full
screen. I see him, Matt.
Oh, here we go. I got it now.
What was that?
You're a Troll Hunter guy.
I love Troll Hunter. Like, yeah, that
is number 2.
I voluntarily picked that one.
Click on mine, please.
Yeah, but do you know where?
I would probably put it between Tremors and Gods of Egypt. That's what I would think.
Oh, okay. Like, right. So your new number 8.
That's what I would think.
Okay. Quinn. There you go. You got Velocipaster number 2. I always forget how high
you have. I haven't laughed that hard in a while.
That's so hilarious.
Tiptoes just strikes a chord because it was so
crazy. That I feel like I was going to mention this because I don't know if we're ever going to talk about it, but like, Tiptoes is the epitome of a movie. That was the most fun podcast.
It's our longest one, except for a Life Watch.
Preposterous movie.
It was. That's like the best thing. It was the true so bad. It's actually kind of amazing to watch and experience for one time. That's it. But
Tiptoes could have been a top 5 for me if it was ranking on how we do this, because I watched it with a look of horror on my face the entire time.
Bo has it higher than you. Bo has it at 5.
And if you told me I had to tell people to watch a stupid movie, I would put Tiptoes over Jingle All the Way. I like Jingle All the Way more as a movie, but Tiptoes is like, you kind of have to watch it. Like, yeah. If you've never seen Jingle All the Way never seen Tiptoes, I would be like, you kind of got to watch Tiptoes.
I would say Cube for me is probably between Jingle All the Way and Small Soldiers, or above Jingle All the Way. It can't be Tiptoes.
In my brain, like, I'd Jingle All the Way at 4. Like, is that
9?
That's nostalgia, that's for sure.
It is. Like, it just straight up is.
Nostalgia hits hard, man. Why do you think people keep doing sequels? Wow. And treacles and fourcles.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, whatever Fast and Furious is that. Like, whatever.
37? I stopped when Vin died.
You're what?
Wait, what did you say, Matt?
Quinn. Yeah, Quinn.
Stopped watching Fast and Furious when Vin Diesel died.
When he died. Paul Walker died?
Oh, wait, no, Paul Walker's dead?
Is this a joke, Quinn?
This is some terrible joke that I have no idea what the punchline is.
Bad joke. It's more me saying they need to stop making those movies.
So yeah, I don't. Back to the movie we're actually talking about. Is there anything else? Notes? I can't. Bo, not talking to you about notes. Any else you guys had to talk about?
Notepad, by the way.
Okay, I thought you said you did.
You just pulled that out because you saw it laying on the counter and it has a grocery list on it.
It is a grocery list on the other side.
Ah, I knew it.
Nailed it. Got him.
I got a couple moments. Wait, what did I write here in this?
Can't oh yeah, no. Own hair
actually, right. I just the thing where we mentioned carrots. Where he decides to walk where the guy the Kazan is sitting. But the one of the other things that was cracking me up that cracked me up is when they asked Worth if he has a wife. He's like, no, I have plenty of porn.
Oh, yeah, but he's got
a
Holly gives him
yes. I had that doubt as a bad acting moment for her. I literally wrote down Holloway after the pornography 18 minutes in goes nice and does a jerk off gesture.
She did it so violently.
Her face too, like her face is like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? I had that one written down too. That was good.
That killed me.
Yeah.
I think that was it. And all the other things that I wrote down, the boot, killing the boot. The only other thing, I don't even actually want to talk about this unless you guys want to, but the only other thing that I was going to talk about is if you really had to think about it and you put yourself in a life or death situation, you had, did I say life or death situation, and you discover somebody that you have to take care of that's mentally handicapped, what would you honestly do? Like, if you have your existing family outside of this situation, like, really, if you seriously had
a non-movie situation. Is this like right away or is this like a day in? Because a day in and a right away might be a different mindset.
I'm saying if you when say you're put in the cube.
Like when it happens to them.
There's no theatrics about it. You are literally, you have to figure out what you're going to do in that situation. Bad example because it's one of those situations where, like, he makes a noise and it sets off the detectors that one time. You know, like, if you were out in the woods, it might be different. Like, making noise doesn't necessarily get you killed. In fact, it might save your life.
Yeah, I know it's somewhere that you probably don't know until you're in the situation. I'd like to think I would, like, still help. Like, mainly just because of my background, like, with, like, my mom's a special ed teacher and, like, you know, I've talked to kids like that, like, almost my whole life. So, like, I'd like to think I would. But you're right. Like, if you're in that situation, like, maybe you don't know.
It's the thing that really got me thinking about it, and I don't even know what the true answer is or the right answer is. I think you would want to put a concerted effort into trying to figure out before you had to, like, give an ultimatum. But, like, the added fact that if you had an existing family outside of that, yeah. You know, like, if you're thinking about your current situation, it is totally different than if it's just saving yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't. That's like, that's way too serious for this podcast, but I did write it down. I was like, that is one of those things where.
It's tough, too. I know in the movie they get past it, but when you come across that room where noise activates the trap, right. Like, that's tough. It's tough to get past.
Or he doesn't want to go in the room that has red.
Yeah, that's where. Yeah, no, I don't know. You know, I don't like that. You gotta know how to talk to, like, that person and just be, you know, it's a red room. Cover your eyes. Like, you sit here. Like, you just gotta know how to talk to them. But that's tough. That's a tough one. Quinn, do you have anything else? Notes. Trivia.
I've made my points.
Oh, the last trivia I had, I said the inspiration of this movie came from an episode of The Twilight Zone.
I just hoped it's factor.
Yeah, came from an episode called Five Characters in Search of an Exit. Fitting. I guess it's about, like, five strangers are in, like, a giant cylinder and they have to try to escape. So And they do, but it turns out they're actually just dolls in someone's playhouse. So, twist.
Oh, for, Twilight Zone.
Spoiler alert for that
the original
episode. Yep. So, that's all I had for this.
All right, it's way past my bedtime, and I got like a 14-hour drive tomorrow night.
So. Yeah, no, it sounds good. I think I have the next pick, and the Masters are coming up, so I think I'm going to go with the Legend of Bigger Vance.
Oh, good one.
I kind of like it. The idea. I've never seen it, so I kind of like the idea.
I have good memories of that movie, but I think it's a bad movie. Like,
it's been a long time since I've seen it. I haven't seen it since college.
I think
I feel like I need to get in the spirit.
Yeah, I think it's just like because it's a golf movie. I think I just liked it as a kid, but I think objectively in retrospect, like I don't think it's that good. But we'll see. Like that's why I want to do it and I want to watch it because I don't know.
All right.
All right.
Until a month from now when we do this again.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right, guys. Yeah. Have a good night.
See you.
You too.
I slept in her room last night for like 3 hours because she was screaming for like two. You guys are doing
She's still the only girl in the group too.
I feel like whatever works.
We found out from our other friend today, April's best friend. She's having her second kid, another boy. That's like 14 boys of our really close friends to one girl.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Having a boy too.
Jesus.
I want two boys.
You want two boys?
Yeah. Because I just want to use all the same shit and everything is just chill as fuck. That's all I want. Like, I don't want to spend more money. All I do is spend money on Lennox. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's called being a parent, Maria.
Just put the... Put the girl in like the boys' onesies.
I just buy so many clothes. It's like a problem. Like it's an actual issue. So.
Yeah, but he looks super cute.
Yeah, right.
The little Concord outfit is killer.
Then he's gonna be gross and smell and be like you guys and that weird ball.
Everything's gonna be sticky. About
someone in this group.
Everything's gonna get sticky and smelly.
I feel like they're just gonna be stinky.
Bathroom doors are gonna get locked. You're like, what's going on in there? Showers are gonna be like 45 minutes long. And you'd be like, don't worry, Mom.
I'm doing my own laundry.
45 minutes.
Don't touch my socks.
No, those are clean. I'll clean them. Don't worry. Just don't touch them.
They're clean. I got it. Don't worry.
They don't bend for a reason.
Why is there always one sock missing?
Yeah. Why is one sock always like you can crack it and the other one's fine?
There's one in your hamper and then there's always one that's automatically in the washing machine. I should mention we don't like totally leave him absent. Like we have this monitor on us with sound playing all the time. So if he does start rolling over and like screaming, we're very aware.
Yeah. Well, I would hope you have a monitor.
It records awesome video. So obviously like anytime it sees movement and starts recording to save for data. Wow. So Maria was looking back one morning at what she was doing last night. And because it's like dark in the room, obviously we're not trying to shine lights. She's trying to grab the pacifier and put it in his mouth. And she doesn't realize that his head is like on his cheek.
Oh,
and
like Maria's trying to put it
in his ear.
I do that all the time.
He's going to have an ear holder.
No, I do that all the time. I had to like feel his chest and like, where's his chin? Okay, there's his chin. Oh, okay, there it goes. Like it's a process. I've poked him in the eye before. I've been like, oh, nope, that's the eye. Sorry.
Squishy, bad.